Our scripture this morning is going to come from Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And as you're finding that passage, a little thing I'd like you to keep in mind is just keep it in the back of your mind. When the Holy Spirit speaks, I must listen. And I'm going to ask you to keep that in the back of your mind today. And by the way, I do appreciate seeing the children in here. Isn't it good to have them in here for worship with us today? Keep that in mind as we wear on the morning. We'll talk after church, buddy. So you may remember, if you were here last week, that we covered the very end of Luke's gospel, and what it told us about was Christ's ascension. And we talked about the things that he gave the church at his ascension. And today we're going to pick up with the very next, part of the very next thing that Luke writes in his continuation of the Gospel of Luke, which is the book of Acts. And we're picking up 10 days later with the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after the Passover. So I trust that you have found it by now. It's Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. As is our custom here, if you would please rise in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were staying. They saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout people from every nation under heaven. When this sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own native language. They were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those who live in Mesopotamia, in Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the magnificent acts of God in our own tongues." They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But some sneered and said, "They're drunk on new wine." The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful Lord, we thank you for this passage of scripture. This morning we thank you for this event from history that we can look back on and look at as the actual day of the start of the church, if you will. The day that the Holy Spirit was poured out onto believers. And Father, we just ask that we would look at this reverently and that our hearts and minds would be changed by the hearing of this word this morning. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So I can remember a time, and I won't name any names, and I may not remember it exactly as it happened, but I remember being with someone in the office of a cardiac surgeon at a major university's teaching hospital. And, the person who needed the surgery, cardiac surgeon is talking to this person, and his wife is with him and not understanding what's going on. And sure, there may have been a slight bit of a language barrier. This particular cardiac surgeon, it was quite obvious that English was not his first language. Has anyone ever met a cardiac surgeon whose first language was English? Me neither. But anyway, so there was difficult. And I remember leaving this office and the wife saying, well, he don't know what he's talking about. He don't even speak English. I was like, of the thoughts that went through my head, you're from America and you don't speak good English. But also, you know, this person is a board certified cardiac surgeon at a teaching university hospital. This guy came from somewhere where English was not his first language, learned English enough to go through a very tough medical school program, become a medical doctor, and become a board certified cardiac surgeon. And you are thinking that he does not know what he's doing because he doesn't speak hillbilly to your liking? And I was like, this is not right. Just because you don't understand what is going on doesn't automatically discredit the one who is telling you what is going on. That's not the way it works. And I think that we need to really pay attention to how we're seeking to understand things. And I'm talking about things particularly from Scripture. You know, we can typically, you know, if we really try, we can, you know, we can look at the Scripture if we just look at it half-heartedly. And we can say, well, this just don't make sense. It's stupid. Because we don't understand it. And the reason we don't understand it is that we're not looking correctly, and maybe we're not relying on the Holy Spirit to give us that understanding. And so one of the first points I want to make to you today is that seekers, as we see in this example, are given understanding. Now, we see two basic groups here in this, outside of the, you know, and we normally look at this from the perspective of the disciples. You know, the Holy Spirit comes down and they're speaking. It's a great thing. But think about the people who were in Jerusalem from various parts of the world for the Feast of Pentecost. This was one of the major feasts, and more people actually traveled for this feast than the Passover because the weather was better. So devout people from all these, you see all these different places mentioned, not places that spoke the language that was being spoke at the temple. But of course they all, you know, they were all learning things like Aramaic, you know, where to go worship at the temple. But they would not expect to hear the gospel in their own language. You know, so there are those who traveled in who heard and believed and were confused. Then there were also those who were there who thought it was just gibberish and like, well, they're just drunk. And if you continue on in the passage, you'll see Peter tell them that, hey, guys, it's only 9 a.m. They're not drunk. But there are those who are seeking and those who are mocking those who seek. So the people who were seeking, these people from all these various nations, these devout Jews, they were there to worship God. That was one of the big festivals for worshiping God at the temple. It was huge. And the fact that they are described as devout, I believe we all have a working understanding of what devout means, right? It means that they sought to obey God in what they did. We don't use that word even in a modern context, we don't use that word really lightly. If we think of somebody as a devout Christian, we think of them, you know, or at least I think of them as somebody who reads the Word, who prays, who seeks to have a relationship with God, who seeks to understand Him, who seeks to know Him. Note, I keep emphasizing that word seek. So as the result of these people seeking out God to worship Him, they were there. They received a special blessing that was only available to those people there on that day and that time, which is that they got the blessing of hearing the wonderful works of God spoken in their native languages, languages that were not spoken in the temple. You know, they didn't have multi-language services. But yet, these disciples were speaking these words, and these people from around the world heard and understand because the Holy Spirit enabled them to hear and to understand. Now, if we were somewhere and all of a sudden a dozen different languages start being spoken all at once, I think what most of us are going to hear is going to be something akin to, you know, radios. Y'all remember radios? The, you know, how if you didn't have them tuned exactly right, and sometimes even if you did, the static. I think that's kind of how it would be for us. But the Holy Spirit was able to cut through the noise and give to those who were seeking Him the ability to understand these wonderful things that were being said about them. These people were at the right place at the right time, but they were only there because they were obedient to what God had already revealed to them. They showed up because they knew they were supposed to go to Jerusalem for this festival. They obeyed that much. Think about the ones who, you know, back home decide, oh, man, I'm not going this year. It's too much hassle. I don't feel like traveling all that way. You see what they missed out on? You're not going to hear something new from God unless you are obedient to what He has already revealed to you. You're just not. That's just the way it works. They were at the right place at the right time because they were obedient to what they had already had revealed to them. Now, we, of course, can learn from this today. It's pretty simple. If we expect to gain any sort of understanding of God's Word, we need to seek Him out. And I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. We need to seek Him out at His house. You know, a lot of people are under this mistaken impression that you can be a Lone Ranger Christian. You know, you can just be out there doing whatever, you know, well, I'm worshiping God at the golf course or, at, you know, okay, worship God wherever. But we don't get a pass on being a part of the church. We are members together of the same body. You take off this hand and throw it away, guess what? It's not getting very far. So we're not given a pass on that. If we are to understand Him, we must seek Him out. If we're to have any understanding of his words, we are to seek him out. And if we are to seek him out properly, we are to be at his house when it is time to worship. And something else we see from this, from our passage here in Acts, is that those who have understanding are then given words to speak. Now, those who had been following Jesus for a while, for the 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, again, they were obedient to the command to go back to Jerusalem and wait. And you may remember last week, they weren't told how long they were going to wait. It turned out to be 10 days. For all they knew, it could have been 10 years. But they went and they waited, because they had the understanding. Jesus had given them the understanding that day, you may remember from last week, to understand how he fulfilled all the prophecies of the scriptures. So these were people with a relatively new, complete-ish understanding of Jesus, also obeying by waiting in Jerusalem for the power from on high. They're there doing that. And these were the ones who were given these wonderful words about the wonderful works of God in these languages that they did not speak. And before anybody starts getting too worried, I know particularly in Baptist churches, we can be a little intimidated by the Holy Spirit. And a lot of that is because some of us have had experience in churches that overemphasize the Holy Spirit and want to make this into something that comes on you and causes you to dance in the aisles or roll down the floor or whatever, scream out in, gibberish. That is not what we're talking about here. We are talking about a sign gift from God that these disciples, Galileans, were able to speak in languages from various nations that they would not normally speak. It was a gift for that purpose. This was not gibberish. They were not, just making noises. And this was not done for the benefit of the disciples. It really wasn't. They knew the wonderful works of God, right? But it was a blessing to those who heard, because they heard it in a language they could understand. I don't know how many of you have ever studied a second language or third or whatever. I have had exposure to a handful of languages. I took 2 years of Spanish and 2 years of French in high school. And let me tell you, short of ordering off of the menu at Los Compadres, that's about as far as my Spanish goes. I was also kind of heavily exposed to Arabic in 3 deployments. My knowledge of Arabic goes as far as hello, goodbye, and I can count to 10. That's it. These people, though, who would have been learning Aramaic to hear what God was speaking in the temple, to hear the preaching and the teaching and all this, but they were having the opportunity to hear it in languages that they spoke at home, and to put that, and being spoken by people who were from Galilee, which was kind of the far end of nowhere. it might as well, you know, it might as well have been the Sussex County of Judea. Think about this. I want you to picture this in your mind. You know, there's definitely more than 12 of us in here today. Think about if we had people coming in from various parts of the world, and all of a sudden what they heard was us speaking in French, Spanish, German, Dutch, Arabic, Pashto, Swahili, languages you've never heard of even. That would be the modern day equivalent. It was a miracle. It was absolutely a miracle. It was a miracle enabled by the Holy Spirit. First, because people were seeking God, and second, because those with understanding were given the words to speak by God. The empowerment that Jesus promised them was delivered on the day of Pentecost, and it was for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel to the nations. By the way, you know, the Holy Spirit was not a one day and done thing. The Holy Spirit enabled everything that went forward from here. We've studied through the book of Acts before. All those things we talked about, all the things that happened the first few hundred years of the church, were the result of the Holy Spirit enabling those who sought to understand and enabling those who understood to speak. Now, again, I say the empowerment that Jesus promised them was delivered on that day of Pentecost, and it was for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel to the nations. And the disciples, of course, did go on to do this with courage and boldness. Keep that in mind. Courage and boldness. We need those. Now, again, it's also important to note these disciples, and I don't think this was limited to the 12, you know, as I understand things, I believe there were about 120 of Jesus' disciples there on the day of Pentecost. Of course, 3,000 by the end of the day, if you read ahead. But it's important that these who received the Holy Spirit that day, they were also where they were supposed to be, doing what they had been commanded. They were commanded to wait until they received the power from on high. And guess what they did? They waited. While they were waiting, they were rejoicing. They were praying. They were continuing on with business as usual until the Holy Spirit said, okay, it's time. And what a sight that must have been. But I point out today the seekers and how important it is for them to obey what they already know. I point out that those who are understanding, it's also important for them to be where they know they need to be. And I point these both out because, quite frankly, you and I, believer, must be both. We must be both a seeker and somebody with understanding. Now, on this side of eternity, we are never, ever, ever beyond having to seek to learn about our Lord. Is there anybody in here today who would claim to know everything they need to know about our Lord? No. And I have heard some of you who are in your 70s, 80s, even more than that, who have talked about reading Bible passages that you have read for decades, you've been familiar with since you were children, and all of a sudden you're seeing that passage in a different way. It's because you're still seeking. We are never beyond being a seeker. The wonderful works of God are way too much for us to understand right now. But God does give us more and more understanding through the Holy Spirit as we go on. Sometimes the way it's appropriate for us to understand something at 4 years old, the way it's appropriate for us to understand something at 14 or 44 or 84 are all completely different because of where we are in life. That doesn't mean God's word changes. It does not. That means our understanding of it does. The more we seek, the more we seek Him, the more we understand Him, then the more we become those with understanding, those who are further along in the faith journey than others, and then we become those who teach others. And I'm not talking about simple head knowledge here. While head knowledge can be a wonderful and great thing, it is not wisdom. It is not complete understanding. Head knowledge is just that. It is things that you know that you don't apply. I'll give you an example of that. I have known since I was about 14 that A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Somebody remember what that's called? Yeah, the Pythagorean theorem. You know, opportunities to use that knowledge in my life have been really, really limited. None of you have ever asked me to find the measurement of that third line of that triangle. So that's just head knowledge. That's all that is. Now, to an architect, that information is a lot more important. Head knowledge about Jesus is one thing, and it's not bad, but it's not complete. Head knowledge is not understanding. Head knowledge is not application. Those of us who would be people with understanding, we must also seek to apply what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. Knowing something is simply not good enough. That cardiac surgeon that I mentioned earlier, for all his knowledge and understanding, had he not actually applied it to doing cardiac surgery, then people who are alive now would not be. It's the same with our knowledge of scriptures. Knowing it's not enough, applying it and sharing it with others is important. We do constantly seek. We are constantly seeking to learn, and we must learn. And we become people of understanding. And then as we become people of understanding, we're also teaching those who are seeking, those who are further behind us in the journey. Sometimes we've experienced things that others have not yet. And it's good to share with them. Now, all throughout this life, there are going to be truths that we understand and truths maybe that we do not yet understand. Our knowledge will not be perfectly complete on this earth. But we continue to seek, we continue to understand, we continue to share that understanding with others. one basic understanding, and I think most of us have a good understanding of this. One basic thing that we understand is the gospel. There are plenty of people who do not understand the gospel. And even if you're, you know, brand new Christian, you understand the gospel that got you saved. You can share that with somebody else. Any of y'all ever been around a toddler who has learned something new? They want to show you what they've learned. And a lot of us are like, yeah, I've known that for 50 years. And a lot of us kind of squelch their excitement instead of just letting them show us what they've learned. Don't let the world squelch your excitement at having sought Christ and understood Him and continue seeking to understand Him and share Him with others. Those who understand the gospel are perfectly capable of sharing it with others. And we have a simple way that we've been teaching you to do that here. We know that the gospel is good news, but before it's good news, it is bad news. And what's the bad news? That's right. Every one of us is born a sinner, separated from God. That's just the way it is. What's the worst news? That is a very good way to put that. We cannot save ourselves. We were drowning without a life vest or anything. We cannot do it ourselves. It doesn't even matter. You know, even if we could live a perfect life for the rest of our life, we can't make up for what we've already done. But then what's the good news? Yeah, Jesus Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He came to earth, lived a life completely without sin. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, and His resurrection proves His words to be true. And then what's the best news of all? That's right. You cannot earn it. You cannot win it. It is given to you, but you must accept it. Let's be sure to share that with somebody this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful Lord, we thank You once again for being able to come here and to hear and to gain understanding. We thank You that You provide us this ability through the Holy Spirit. And we ask that we would not minimize the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but that we would be fully submissive to Him so that when we realize when He speaks, we must listen and we must obey. Lord, we ask if there is anyone either here today or watching online later who does not know Christ, we would ask that this would be the day they would come to know Him. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.